Good morning, good morning, and good morning, and welcome to yet another episode of Popping Up with Phil, the podcast. Happy Tuesday, co-host, and most importantly, Happy New Year. We have made it to 2021, and I know many of us didn't think we were, because 2020 was rough for a lot of us. Even though there are many of us, myself included, that experienced some great things in 2020, there are still a number of us that dealt with some loss, whether it be the loss of employment, the loss of a loved one. All can be extremely significant, but it's a new year, and the hope is that we can turn the page, turn the corner on some of those things that were not so great in 2020. And I think that many of us learned some incredible lessons. Loss from COVID-19 aside, the opportunity to spend time with self, the opportunity to reevaluate relationships, personal relationships, whether they are familial or romantic, even our relationships with self. A lot of things were tested, a lot of things were tried during that time frame, and I really hope that everyone comes out 2021 just swinging and stronger and feeling empowered, feeling imbued with a new sense of purpose. I think a lot of us are trying to figure out how to be better businessmen, how to be better businesswomen, how to be better friends, how to be better lovers, how to be better sons and daughters and fathers and whatever. I think that 2021 is the opportunity to get that cracking. And I'm not a new year, new me type of person. I'm a New Year's is today bitch. So if you wake up on December 17th and decide that I'm about to turn over a new leaf, then that's your new year. I'm all for it. But I do believe that the newness of a year does bring about wanting to make some positive change. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So go for it. I really don't have a lot to say today. I just want to be consistent in communicating with my co-host, getting on here, having conversation. There's been a lot going on for me because I have been moving over the last week and a half, and it is great to be in your home full time, but there's so much work to be done. I've already had a couple of new homeowner snafus. I had an electrical issue. But it was resolved, and all is well. So I'm excited about that. But it's just new, waking up in this space, navigating this space, trying to figure out small things like temperature control, because I have 3 floors that I have to kind of figure out, and I don't want an electricity bill that's $12 million. Making all of those transfers in terms of accounts, like this is my new address, and remembering what you need to do in terms of who needs to know what your new address is, so you don't have things going to the wrong place, and trying to make sure that you stop anything that's important and vital from going to your old address. So it's been an ordeal. It's been some time, but I'm excited, and I'm getting into that place where it's like I'm trying to figure out like what's my design aesthetic, because I really don't think I have one. I always tell people, jokingly, I'm not one of those gays. I really don't have a keen eye for interior design. But it's your home, and you want it. I just want the place to feel comfortable. I want people to come in and feel homey. I think I've always been able to provide that in any space that I've lived in. I think any friend who's had an opportunity to stay with me, whether it be short term or long term, or just come over to hang out, they've always said that it feels like home. It feels comfortable. It feels safe. And that's important to me. I think I learned a long time ago. I have an uncle back home who always had, his house was always kind of geared for entertaining, whether he was entertaining or not. He's not a beer drinker, but he always had beer. He always had juice or water or wine or some type of alcohol to make a mixed drink. He always had food in the refrigerator, and I think I got that from him. I think it's important to have a home that is inviting and that you kind of have those things. I'm not necessarily trying to run a convenience store, Quickie Mark, but I think it's cool when people come over and it's like, oh yeah, I got this, I got this, I got that. You know, I may not eat Louisiana hot sauce, but I got Louisiana hot sauce because somebody who comes over for dinner might want Louisiana hot sauce. I like Frank's Red Hot because you put that shit on everything, but that's just me, you know? And so, yeah, I've always kind of taken that from him, and I'm really excited because for the last couple of years, I haven't been in a space where I have been able to entertain. And anybody who knows me, I really do enjoy having people around. I do get energy from people. I am an extrovert. And so I'm looking forward to creating memories in this space, game nights and different things like that. So post-pandemic, let's be clear about that, post-pandemic. So not now. Right now, the only people who are kind of hanging out with me are the people who are in my COVID circle. And I'm doing a lot of virtual face time Marco Polo Zoom tours, but I do look forward to the world kind of opening up and having the opportunity to have people in your home, because so many people are excited. And I think that's the great part about home ownership, or whatever it is that you accomplish. You know, I think I said it before that I didn't look at home ownership as being this huge accomplishment. It wasn't until people started saying, well, this is a major accomplishment. Your parents must be so proud. Your mom must be beaming from heaven that you've done this. And it never registered to me that way. It just was kind of on the path of things to do as an adult. And so I'm adulting. And I have friends who are like, friend, you are really adulting in a really big way. And I'm like, I know. As I'm over here trying to set up mortgage payments and, you know, change car payments, just trying to figure it all out. But I'm excited. I'm excited. And I just wanted to come on today and just say, hey, y'all. It is a big day for Georgia. It is the Senate runoffs are today between Ossoff and Perdue and Loeffner and Warnock. And we're really, really hoping, really, really praying that everyone took heed to what has been going on in this country, in this state, for the last 4 years, and that they really are getting out there and voting. I voted early because I knew that I was going to be moving and I was going to be changing counties, and I did not want any issues. So I voted day one, before I closed, before I even moved, I voted. That was very, very important to me. As a matter of fact, I actually voted on the day that I closed, which is December 14th. That was the first day of early voting. I got out there and got it done. Wasn't in line long at all. And I really hope that people are doing the same thing, because people have to understand that these local elections, city, county, township, depending on where you live, are extremely important, and it makes a difference. And we really need control of the Senate. It's important. I know that some people, I've talked to some people, and they talk about this whole concept of balance. They don't want one party to have too much power. And I get that holistically, but the reality of the situation is we've been in a country where one political party has had all of the power, and we don't really have anything to show for it. You know, I'm fortunate that the $600 stimulus check won't make or break me. I'm fortunate. Now, I still want my money, still run me my $600. But, you know, there are people out here who are really suffering. And to just think that the powers that be could not get it together and really try to put out a stimulus package that was meaningful and impactful, and that really could help somebody who is really in need. You know, I have a lot of friends who have been out of work, and thankfully some of them have, you know, secured positions and are going to go into 2021, or at least start the beginning off of 2021 in those positions, and we're grateful for that. But there are so many other people who are just struggling. You know, I was watching, I'm not a Susie Orman fan, but I happened to turn the TV on yesterday, and she was on NBC with can't think of the people's names. It doesn't matter. But Susie Orman was talking, and she was saying, you know, if $600 is not going to make a significant impact in terms of your rent or your car payment, buy food, buy canned goods, you know, literally stock up your fridge, your freezer, your pantry, your cupboard, your basement, whatever your space is, as if you're preparing for a hurricane. Because at the very least, you'll be able to feed yourself and you'll be able to feed your families. And that's going to be important. And so I'm getting off that soapbox. I hope people are voting. I really, really, really hope people are voting and are making that difference, because it's going to be very, very important. What else do I want to kind of randomly talk about today? Because that's where we are, randomly talking about things. I'm just going to put this out here because I've been having these conversations. First of all, shout out to any of my friends and or family who are members of Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated, because today is their, what do we call it? We don't call it an anniversary. It's Founders Day. That's what we call it. Hello. So it's their Founders Day, J5. So congratulations. Congratulations. Or what do you say? What do you say on days like this? You don't say congratulations, do you? You just say happy Founders Day. So I guess that's like congratulations, happy birthday, whatever the case is. Anyway, shout out to y'all. Hope you're enjoying your day. Socially distant and ever mindful that it's still a pandemic. But I wanted to talk about this because it's going along. I don't watch The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. I've never watched them. And the Bachelor this year happens to be an African-American man. But my understanding is he has a white mother. And I don't know what his relationship was with his father. But obviously there's a lot of talk because he is an attractive man. He's an attractive black man. I assume that he's on The Bachelor. He's pretty successful. And again, it seems like another successful black man who doesn't seem to have much interest in women of color. So a couple of things. First of all, I'll say this. I'm not a psychologist, but my understanding of what I remember from those classes is that the first woman that men tend to be in love with are their mothers. And so it's not uncommon that a man goes out, seeks and finds a woman that is reminiscent of his mother. So one, I'm not surprised if he has an attraction to white women. Two, he more than likely grew up in an environment where he was probably surrounded by more white people than black people. So, you know, he may have a totally different continence when it comes to dealing and interacting with people of color, black folks, you know, just putting that out there. As a result of that, there has been a lot of pictures floating around with him and his white guy, who I'm assuming is one of his closest friends. And there's this speculation that he is, and I don't know if it's just like social media being funny or if there's some type of sound substantial proof that this is the case, but there's all these jokes about him being gay or bisexual, whatever the case is. And I just, you know, it frustrates me, and that's why I like to talk about it, that black men don't have the same freedom of expression, sexuality, emotion, the ability to express intimacy the same way as our white counterparts do. This whole concept of bromance is not new, and it seems to be widely accepted for white folks, but when it comes to black brothers, it's like, no, they must be gay. You know, it's like, no, black men have the ability to love on and support and have intimate relationships with other men and it not be sexual in any way. You know, it's just like the argument that a man and a woman can't be friends. And there are so many men and women who defy that all the time. And it's not because the woman is bisexual or gay. It's not because the man is bisexual or gay. It's two people, men, a man and a woman, who legitimately have a friendship. And it's not sexual. And that can't happen. And so many people think that it can't. And I feel like we end up fighting within our own community trying to prove that that's possible. So I say all that to say, I don't know the you know what the pictures really, really mean. But dude, it is, romances are real. There are so many people who have that type of relationship with one of their closest friends, and there's nothing sexual and or suspect about it. So just let the man live. Literally, let the man live. So again, I'm probably not going to watch The Bachelor. I'm not interested in watching The Bachelor at all. I just wanted to talk about those things because it's frustrating as a black man when I read things and from other black people concerning black men. You know, somebody will post or pose a question about a black man, and you'll see countless posts about, oh no, that's suspect. Oh no, that's gay. That ain't real. I'm a real man, or I'm looking for a real man, and that's not what real men do. And it's like, no, men cry, men love, men hug, men kiss. You know what I'm saying? And not in a sexual way. And it's cool. You know, even when you see situations where, you know, you see men being affectionate with their sons, and how much conversation about how people feel that that's inappropriate. It's like, it's his fucking kid. Like, you should be able to love on your kid. Listen, I kiss my dad on the cheek. I hug my dad. I kiss my brothers on the cheek. I hug my brothers. I kiss friends on the cheek, and I hug them, gay or straight, because I love them. And I want them to understand, well, maybe not under a pandemic. I do that a whole lot less. But in a non-pandemic scenario, I want people to know that they're loved, that they're cared about. And no one should feel like their sexuality or their intentions are being questioned because they're showing that type of love. I think it's important, and I think we're lacking on that. And for so many people too, it's funny because, you know, do you really want to be in a situation where you're with someone who is so emotionally stunted that they can't express any type of emotion? You know what I'm saying? Or the only emotion that they can express is anger or frustration or rage. Like, that's crazy. It just doesn't make any sense to me. And I just challenge us to do better in terms of creating a space where black men particularly can express themselves in a myriad of different ways, and it not be, and who they are not be brought into question every single time. You know, especially people out there talking about they looking for a good man, so he's automatically off the list of a good man because he has an emotional, a relationship, an intimate relationship with a friend. Come on, y'all, we gotta do better. We gotta do better than that. We just have to. What else was I gonna say about this situation? Or its close proximity to other situations that piss me off in terms of just not allowing black men to be, and how important it is for us to have that space to just be. It's very valuable, and I think that it's something that's taken away from us too often, and it brings about or produces or it incites this whole idea that we just don't have that right or that privilege to be free in our expression of love, genuine love. And that's whack. That's real whack. Yeah. I think that's all I'm going to say about that. Because, well, at this point, I'm just rambling. Because I just like being with you guys. And I really didn't take the time to sit down. I just been so much going on. I didn't take time to sit down and be like, okay, what do I want to talk about today? So I promise I'm going to be better as the year goes on. But I didn't want the first Tuesday of the year to go past and me not sit down and bless the mic, as they say. yeah, I'm looking forward to 2021. I have no idea what's going to happen. I've been having a lot of conversations with friends about reconciliation and forgiveness and second chances and what that means. And I think it means something different for everybody. But I definitely know that 2020, which put us all in a space, all of us in a space at one time or another where we were isolated. and what that means to be isolated, to be away from family and friends, and what that does to a person emotionally, spiritually, mentally, has caused us all to reevaluate some things and look at some things more closely. And I think that that's a good thing. And I just think that moving forward, hopefully it has created a space where we're all open to looking at situations, personal situations, situations that we were involved in, things that we've said or things that we've done, things that have been said about us or done to us, and got an opportunity to just kind of evaluate those things and kind of look at them for what they were and be able to move on from it. Move past it. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get involved with the people that you're forgiving or the people that you are, you know, the relationships that you're reevaluating. But I just really hope that if 2020 hasn't taught us anything, that it taught us all to value life and relationship a little bit more and to pursue and go after vehemently those things that we love and those things that we hold dear, because we've definitely seen where those things can be taken away from us. A friend just texted me not too long ago that Eric Jerome Dickey passed away. He's an author and an author not an Arthur he's an author that I remember very vividly, because my mom read his books growing up, Sister to Sister and Milk and My Coffee, and I think Lovers and Friends, or Between Lovers and Friends. I don't remember all of the titles, but I do remember, like, I can literally see the covers of the books. And I remember, you know, diving into them at a very early age, probably way sooner than I should have. But it was like, in terms of my mom's bookshelf, it was a way for me to see. I read, you know, my mom was a fan of Elin Harris, and she read a lot of his books, who's also deceased. She read a lot of his books, and, you know, his books were more or less that other world that most, I would wager to say most black women and even some black men didn't know that existed. You know, men trying to figure out their sexuality, trying to come to terms with different things and trying to navigate that space. And Eric Jerome Dickey's books were literally relationships between black men and black women, and that same thing, trying to figure out their sexuality, their identity, and navigate that space. And I'd be interested. It's interesting because I do believe I have some of his books here. Some books that I had taken from home that were my mom's, another author, Omar Tyree. And I would be interested to kind of dive into those books now as a 35-year-old man to see what my perspective would be. Would it be any different? Because I definitely read the majority of those books at an age where I did not understand so much about myself and about sexuality and about the interaction between men and women, or men and men, or women and women, because all of those things were discussed in those books. But I just said all that to say, we got news today that Eric Jerome Dickey passed away, and he was young. He was a 59-year-old man, and said that he had been dealing with a short illness, and it didn't go into grave detail on whether or not it was COVID-19 related or not. But, you know, his literature has meant a lot to a lot of people. And so, you know, you just want to cherish those things. You know, watching, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom over the holiday, and watching other things about August Wilson and his contribution. I happened to watch a documentary about the August Wilson monologue competition that's available to high school students that I didn't even know existed. And it's only been in existence since his passing. But, you know, seeing that and seeing the impact that he's had on people who are significantly younger than he was, who in most instances probably wouldn't have encountered his work, because I don't remember reading any August Wilson in high school, so, or college for that matter. So, you know, any interaction that I've had with August Wilson, his work, has been my own personal study as an adult. But I just say all that to say, you know, we have to cherish these people and their work, because we don't know when we'll lose them. And it's only the fifth day of January. And although we seemingly got through 2020 with all that's going on without losing a tremendous amount of giants. Because, you know, it's interesting. December always has a tricky way of getting us. Like, I remember waking up, you know, like December 31st or January 1st and finding out that, like, Natalie Cole had passed, and how that completely blindsided me. And, you know, how you just have those things where, you know, people you didn't really think about or people you didn't know were ill. And it's like those, you know, they made it just, they didn't make it to the new year, or they made it just past the new year, and then something happens. And so, you know, it's the first week of January, so we probably still have a lot of that to consider and to contend with. But I just want to say, I hope that 2020 taught us to value ourselves, to value our families. Even my godmom scolded me about calling her more, and just like, you know, that's the, you know, she was like, I gotta scold you. You know, I'm not a fusser, but I just want to say, you know, you need to call more. I would like for you to call more. And, you know, just like saying, okay, you know, like, I don't have a problem with that. But, you know, you just get wrapped up in your own stuff that you forget about other people. You don't know what's going on. I have an uncle who did the same thing. He's like, well, you don't ever call. So it's like, okay, I have to make a concerted effort in 2021 to be more cognizant of that. And I've also said this in the past, too, about being more, paying more attention to, like, the months. And, like, you know, I know when people's birthdays are. I know when people, even if you don't know, this is what I'm going to do, and this is what I suggest that you do, because this is something that I've been thinking about for years. I've never done it. You know, at the top of the month, that there are going to be birthdays, there are going to be anniversaries, there are going to be certain things going on in the lives of those individuals who you love and care for. If you just set out at the top of the month and say, you know what, I'm just going to send birthday cards to these people, I'm going to send wedding anniversary cards to these people, I'm going to send, you know, whatever the event happens to be for that particular month, you just say, I'm going to send it off at the top of the month, and to worry about it. Because sometimes we don't remember the specific days, and I'm good with days and dates. I normally don't forget that shit. But sometimes you don't remember the specific days of everything. But if you send that shit off at the top of the month and be like, hey, I know it's early, but, you know, it's better for me to send it early than you not to get it at all. Just making that effort, I think it would go a very, very long way to just say, hey, I was thinking about you and I wanted you to know. You know, I've always been taught the importance and the value of sending thank you cards. So I put out my registry that most people were getting on me about not putting out. So I finally published it, and I've already received some gifts. So I'm going to sit down, make the concerted effort to sit down in my office. Oh my God, I have an office. To sit down in my office and handwrite thank you cards to let people know that I appreciate them celebrating this moment with me, for them sharing, and then them taking the time to actually review my registry and purchase me something that I selected that I feel is, would be a value to my home, and that they're taking their money and they're actually gifting me with that, you know, not having seen the house, not knowing when they'll ever see the house, but still just excited for my win. And so I don't want that to go unnoticed. So anyway, I'm going to get off my soapbox. I'm going to let you guys go. One last thing. I am in a Facebook group. It's the Spelman Morehouse LGBTQIA group. I don't know how long the group has been in existence, to be quite honest, but, you know, as a result of being in this pandemic, the interactions in that particular group and other groups, because there are other groups that are interacting as well, but the interaction in that group has been heightened because people were literally in their homes. And I know that because people live in different parts of the country and people have different ideas about certain things, that some involvement has shifted or changed or decreased because people are kind of getting back more into their regular lives. But you kind of see that it's kind of a pendulum swing. I think there are people who were on heavily in the beginning because they literally were sequestering themselves in their homes and staying away from people and being very, very, you know, responding very seriously to the pandemic. And there are other people who were kind of a little more laxed. But as this thing has continued to linger on, you see more people are kind of decreasing on their activities and getting back to being, you know, in their homes, being sequestered, because it's not getting any better. And I also think that sometimes people respond or only respond when something affects them directly, which I think is the issue with a lot of our white counterparts. The reason why they're not responding the way that perhaps Black folks are responding is because a lot of the pre-existing conditions, the core, I never say this word right, so I'm not going to even try. A lot of the pre-existing conditions that people are comorbidities. That's what it is. A lot of those things that make the virus so much harder on Black folks and other people of color, because I think that the Latinx community, or the Latin community, I don't know if it's Latin, I actually don't know what's PLC in this situation, but a lot of people in that community are also suffer from some of the same things. And even surprisingly, people in the Asian community, I've had conversations with people who have some of those same pre-existing conditions, and as a result they've had a tougher time. Nonetheless, I'm trying to say is that we're seeing it head on. We're losing relatives, young and old, whereas a lot of people on a lot of our white counterparts are not. And so I think that they're not responding as a result of that, or not responding the way that we are. And so I say that to say that I think that there are Black folks who, I don't want to necessarily say thought it was a hoax, but had not experienced a loss or significant loss up close, where they could touch it, where they can feel it, where it was palpable to them. And so because of that, they were kind of living their lives. And I think those things are kind of changing. But I say all that to say, I'm in this group. And although the other night I didn't stay on the call long, there's this whole concept of this love bubble. And before I left, one of the members, Chris, hey Chris, because he's a co-host, really loved on me about, you know, the achievement of being a homeowner, and just spoke to the energy that I brought to the group, and that was great. And apparently that continued on after I left, and then we got back on last night because another regular member of the group, Sean, shout out to Sean, had a birthday yesterday, happy birthday boy, who's also a co-host, you know, we got on the call just to kind of love on him because it was his birthday. And people are, I think a lot of people did not think that they would have to really think about how they would celebrate their birthday the next year. You know, for Sean, his birthday was in January, so he probably lived his life last January like nothing happened. And then the pandemic hit, and then surely you're thinking to yourself, well, by the time my birthday rolls around again, I won't have to worry about this. But we went through countless holidays, you know, Easter. My family got together on our first Zoom for Easter thinking like, surely, you know, we'll get through this. Not thinking that we would be doing the same thing for Thanksgiving. Not thinking that we'd be doing the same thing for Christmas. Not thinking that we'd be doing the same thing for the new year. And now we're in another year and we're going to be in this same boat, probably even longer, because things were not taken seriously. We didn't respond to things. We collective, as a collective, not individually, but we as a collective did not respond to things properly. And so that's probably, not probably, it has certainly made things much worse, where we see other countries that were more on the receiving end of a bad and tragic news at the beginning, who have been able to level that out. And we're not hearing about them in the news the way that we did. I haven't heard anything about Italy. That doesn't mean that there isn't things going on there, but I haven't heard anything about them recently. So I say all that to say, this whole concept of this love bomb, of just really showing and expressing love and appreciation and gratitude for people, is important. And it's especially important in this time, because there are so many people who are in isolation, some by choice and some by force, but they're separated. You know, some people haven't seen their families in a year. You know, I literally was in Detroit and in New York around this time last year. Not exactly this week. In the next week or so, it'll be about a year since I was there. But I was literally I went to Detroit for work, and I got a chance to interact with some of my agents. And then I spent time with my family, spent time with my godson, spent time with a couple of my best friends. I wasn't there long, so I didn't have much time, but I spent time with them. And then I went to New York and spent time with other best friends from college, and got a chance to meet my goddaughter and was having a great time. And here we are a year later, and I haven't seen any of those people since then, other than virtually. So this wasn't my expectation. I didn't know January of 2020 that this would even be a thing. And then to be talking about it still, and still be in this space of isolation in 2021, and not knowing how much longer this is going to linger on or continue is crazy. So love on each other. Take the time to send a note, send an email, send a text, send a voice memo, whatever you got to do to let people know that you care, that you're thinking about them, because it makes a big difference and it goes a long way. Anyway, I'm rambling on at this point. I've kept you long enough. I love y'all for real. I really do hope and pray that 2021 is a supernatural year for all of us. Whatever it is that you want to achieve, whatever it is that you want to capture, whether it is love or, you know, you want to get your finances in order, you want to be a homeowner like your boy, you want to buy a new car, you want to start a business, you want to move across the country, which I don't know if I would suggest that right now, but if that's in your plan, you want to change careers, do it. Life is too short, and value each and every moment. I'm getting out of here. I love y'all for real. Continue to like, to share, to post. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend about it. If you know somebody who is looking for somebody who's into podcasting, or they're looking for an opportunity to collaborate, let me know. I think that would be dope. And I really want to do more of that in 2021, especially since we're all bored in the house and we're in the house bored. Well, not me, because I work from home, so I'm busy as shit. But outside of that, if you know anybody who's interested, if you have an idea that you want to kind of talk through, if you've heard something on the podcast that you want to challenge, whatever the case is, hit me up. My social media, of course, is Popping Off With Phil. That's on IG. So you can reach me there. You know, get in my DMs, put a message under my post for today, whatever it is to get my attention, do that. I would love to talk. I would love to converse. I would love to kick it. So anyway, peace. I'm out.